పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమః. ముఖం కరోతి వాచాలం అంగం నమైతే గిరిం యత్ కృపాతమహం వందే శ్రీగురు దీనకారణం.
ఆల్రైట్, సో yesterday we completed the study of the 10 topics of Srimad Bhagavatam as presented by whom? Shukadev Goswami. And today we will look at a little bit at a different view, which is not really different, but as I told you in the beginning, these topics are repeated in the end of Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 12th canto, by Sutta Goswami. And we will see that he's presenting slightly in a different way. Some things are common, some things are different. And this is actually what could be learned from that. This is actually the way that the knowledge of the Smriti is passed down through down the generations. We heard in the beginning that there are two kinds of scriptures, the Shruti and the Smriti. And the Shruti, we said, refers to the four Vedas. And the four Vedas, they are compiled in such a way by the Supreme Lord Himself that the words cannot be changed. The order of the words cannot be changed, and they cannot be replaced or anything. What is important in transmitting the knowledge of the Vedas is very much the pronunciation. One has to simply repeat each and every syllable with a specific type of intonation, accent, and for this it requires, of course, to be a very pure person. And usually this knowledge of the Vedas was given to people from childhood, from the very young age, when the brain is completely free, nothing is inside. You know, children can actually learn an amazing amount of information in one day. So the children would be selected according to their birth in different families, according to their astrology. They would be trained to learn the Vedas. And later on, when they would become a little older, then they would be further selected according to the actual qualities that they would manifest, right? To become brahmanas in the different departments of the four Vedas, to assist the society in performing yajnas for the benefit of the country, of the people, to keep peace and prosperity in the land, and to help the individuals go through the different sanskaras, and help them with all the activities of human life. So to transmit this knowledge was important very much memory and pronunciation. Whereas to transmit the knowledge of Smriti, much more important than pronunciation, as Prabhupada told us, the Maha Mantra is being sung nowadays in all the different countries of the world, and everybody is singing it in a different way, different accents. And sometimes it hardly resembles the original mantra in Sanskrit. Yet it is working. We are seeing the Chinese taking up to Krishna consciousness and getting purified in spite of their very bad pronunciation. We are seeing the Greeks also do, cannot pronounce, they cannot say the words the way the Sanskrit pronunciation requires, yet they are being purified, everyone is being purified. Because there are two things. One thing is the pronunciation, and the other is the mood that we put, the message that we actually convey in the mantra, and the realization. So to transmit smriti, the knowledge of the fifth Veda, realization is most important. One must learn the knowledge, assimilate it, and then reproduce it. Mostly as it is, but with realization. And this is what Sutta Goswami did in the end of the Bhagavatam. When he repeated the 10 topics, he did so. But he had digested them. He had digested those topics, and he is putting them out with his own flavor. So it is not different, it is as it is. We will study that and see that actually it is not different from Shukadev. But he has put in his own realization. And this is the way to convey the message of the Puranas. In fact, in the beginning of the Bhagavatam, Sutta Goswami says that as far as the birds, the birds have different capacity to fly high in the sky. So different birds fly at different height in the altitude in the sky. So similarly, I will tell you the Bhagavata as far as my realization goes. So today we are going to look at this other angle of Sutta Goswami, and here we have two charts which reflect very much what we learned from Shukadev, how Shukadev was defining the 10th topic, the Ashraya. And the way he defined it is that he said that the Ashraya should be independent. What we are looking for is the foundation of the entire existence. And he said that this Ashraya exists before the creation, during the creation, and after the creation. Everything depends on that Ashraya, but he doesn't depend on the other things. And he is known as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. This is what he has. He is non-dual, non-dual truth. And then he kind of contrasted that with the position of the jiva in the world. Because you can say, well, the jiva is also eternal, he also exists before the creation, during the creation, and after the creation. It is true, the jiva is a parcel, part and parcel of the Lord, and has the same qualities in minute quantity. So in order to show us that the jivatma in this, it cannot be the one that we call the Ashraya, then he has explained us what is the situation of the jivatma in the world. And this was this idea of the Adidevika, Adhyatmika, and Adibhautika Purushas. And we saw that actually there are only two things. There is the material energy and there is the spiritual energy. The material energy is manifesting a visible body, and the spiritual energy is a living entity. And that living entity in the world take on different bodies. And some of the bodies are controlling, and some of the bodies put one in a position of control. And unless the body is manifested, we do not know whether the jiva is a controller or whether he is controlled. So, and we saw that there is an interdependence between the demigods and the human beings and the material nature, the living bodies. And the three of them In other words, all the jivatmas in the world, they may be eternal, but they can't function on their own. They just can't function. Just one jiva in this world cannot function on its own. He needs the help of the material nature that gives him a material body through which he can act, through which he can, on which actually he takes shelter. Material body is a shelter where the living entity sits, lives for a whole life. And then, but he cannot activate that body. He cannot activate it. There are eyes, nose, tongue, everything is there, so many senses, physical senses are there. But the power to actually activate those senses, the powers of perception, they are not there. The power of perception, the power of action, this power belongs to the controlling living entities, who are the demigods. They can control the physical body, but the jivatma cannot actually control his own body. He is actually under the control. We hear always, we are under the three gunas, and we are completely controlled. And the demigods are controlled. We desire, and they fulfill those desires. So there is a cooperation between the different types of jivas, and I made another chart there, which is illustrating what Prabhupada explains in one purport, how they are interdependent and they cannot exist one without the other. We see here, for example, before the material body is created, before the living entity takes a body, so the jiva himself, he cannot see. Because he needs a material body to actually be able to function and go around in this world. And then the deities, they have nothing to control. They have nothing to control. There is no shelter for them to repose their power. So they cannot do anything. Because their job in the world is to provide. This is their activity is to provide the sensory faculties to the humans, to all the other living entities, the jivas who are controlled, the controlled living entities, not just the jivas, so not just the humans. So, the demigods are like inhibited. They are inhibited. Which proves that they are themselves not independent. And similarly, suppose there is a body, but there is no jiva inside. The body died. There is no jiva in the body. Then again, the demigod, they may try to repose some power on the body, but the energy that activates that body is not there. So whatever effort they are making is useless. Their energy is wasted because they cannot activate the body. The body is activated by the soul. So in this way we see that. And then the Adibhautika Purusha, no one knows it exists because the jiva is the seer and he cannot see. So in this way we see that he's just trying to prove that, because otherwise in this world the jivatma thinks himself the controller. He thinks himself the controller and thinks himself independent. So here it is proven that no, jivatma, it is not you who is the controller. You depend on the body, you depend on the demigods. And if you say, well, I'll become a demigod, then you should know that the demigods, they also depend on the existence of a material body, and they also depend on the fact that there is somebody to control. Otherwise, they become useless. So, this is what we have studied so far.